임함 지나 Joy in the name of Jesus. There is no other name I know. And there is love in the name of Jesus. All love in the name of Jesus. Love in the name of wonderful name of Jesus. There is no other name I know. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Glory to your name, God. Glory to your name, God. Come on, stand to your feet for the reading of the word. We're going on this morning to the book of Genesis, the sixth chapter. The book of Genesis, the sixth chapter. So thankful that there is power in the name of Jesus. There's love in the name of Jesus. There's so much joy in the name of Jesus. And sometimes when you're going through, saints, we just have to remember to call on Jesus. Amen. Genesis, the sixth chapter. Amen. We'll have to start giving some of these church members a microphone so they can go and get their sing on, Brother Martin. Y'all be holding out on me. It had to be sooner than later. We may as well go and get it done. Genesis, the sixth chapter. Amen. Lord, I want to be able to use all these gifts that we have here in this body. Amen. Amen. Drop down to the ninth verse. Amen. And the Bible reads as follows. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside it out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring flood waters on the earth to destroy all the life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark. You and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark 2 of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Come on, let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now, God, for your word. We thank you now, God, for speaking to us and through us in the name of Jesus. We give you glory, honor, and praise for what it is that you're getting ready to do, God. We pray now, God, that you bless every member, every listener, and everyone who is connected, God. Heal the sick, God. Deliver those that need deliverance, God. Save those that need to be saved, God. Lift up bowed down heads in the name of Jesus through your word, oh God. God, we give you glory for what it is that you're getting ready to say unto the church on this morning in advance. And we say thank you, God. We praise you now for all that you are doing, not just in the ministry, God, but in us individually and then collectively. We say thank you, God, for being Alpha and Omega. We say thank you, God, for being the lifter of our heads. We say thank you, God, for a fresh touch and a fresh anointing. We say thank you, God, for a move of your spirit in this place. It is in Jesus' name we count these blessings done by faith. Amen. Amen. As you get ready to go to your seats, amen. We want to use for a thought on this morning, building in the dry season. Building in the dry season. Amen. You may take your seats. To build anything, to start something new, and to do things that have never been done before takes an enormous level of faith. But it takes an extra level of faith when you can't even see why you're building. The dry season represents a season of no rainfall. It is a season where rivers are dried up and crops have been burned up. But the life of Christians can be a season also where there is a dry season, where your friends are few, your money is funny, and things just don't seem to be going your way. But when you know the voice of God and when you trust that He won't lead you astray, you can operate in faith even when other folks think that you're crazy or that your vision is absurd like that of Noah. Because you know that God has not, will not fail you, and He won't steer you wrong. So you do like Noah and you build, simply obeying God's instructions. Now, the name Noah is a Hebrew name meaning rest and comfort, Deacon Jackson, but his name denoted his destiny. In the scriptures, God chooses Noah to build the ark, to fill it with food and with two of every animal, and to survive this great flood that was to come. But if you notice, before Noah could rest or get to that place of peace and comfort, as his name denotes, there was work to do. And he was the one that God entrusted for this assignment, as the scripture advises, because Noah was a righteous man, Brother Deontay. So Noah had the understanding that God is. God is omnipotent, which means that He has unlimited power and God is able to do anything. He had the understanding that God is omnipresent. He's present anywhere and everywhere all at the same time, Bro Jackson. And He is omniscient. He has total knowledge of everything that's going on with you, with me, and Noah, and everybody else. Nothing is slipping by Him. He sees well ahead, and nothing sneaks up on God. So we have to learn to move when God says so, because He is Alpha and Omega, and He knows the end from the beginning. And nothing surprises God. I don't care if it surprises you. Nothing has surprised God. We have to trust that the leading of the Lord is not just for moral excellence, but it is a path to our destiny and that it will profit us. Isaiah 48 and 17 says, "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way that you should go." So wherever God is leading you, if you follow Him, you are going to benefit. Jeremiah 29 and 11 says He's already got everything planned out for us. We've just got to follow his plan and not ours. Amen. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. So our responsibility is simply to follow the one that is leading us, because we understand he will not lead us astray. Amen. The word lets us know that God reigns on the just as well as the unjust. So we have to understand that there is a purpose in every season of our lives, but especially the rain and the storm that will come into our lives, even if the outcome, like with Noah, happens to be a flood. The good news is that he delivers us from them all. The good news is that there are various kinds of rainstorms, and some of us are just in our rainy season, Deacon Jackson. But you've got to learn to enjoy the rain, because before, during, and after the rain, there are distinctive changes that occur in the environment and in us. And it also causes changes in the other people around you. So during the rain, things may seem just a little bit uncertain. During the rain, things often slow down. But we've got to stop looking at the rain from a negative capacity. God made a covenant with Noah after the flood that he wouldn't consume the earth again by another flood. So you've got to be assured that this little rain that we're going through, these little storms that we're going through, will not consume us, because God promised and God keeps his word. It won't consume you. It won't take you out. But it will benefit you in God's timing. Amen. So if you just adjust your mindset, you can now begin to get ready for what comes after the rain. Because when God brings you out, it's not just for you. God didn't just keep Noah, but God also blessed his sons and their wives. In fact, the present population of this world that we live in was descended from Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. And our Savior Jesus came from the lineage of Shem. You see, after the rain comes beauty. After the rain comes a refreshing. After the rain comes rest and stillness. And after the rain comes your harvest. That's why God prepares us in advance for what's getting ready to come. So in summary, God told Noah three things. The first thing he said is, you're going to have to come inside. See, it takes time to get under the covering of the secret place of God. But the Bible says that he that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty, my God, in Psalm number 91, you'll be able to sit down in God's high presence. He said you'll be able to spend the night in El Shaddai's shadow. He said that God is my refuge. In you I trust that I am safe. He said, that's right. He rescues you from hidden traps and shields and snares. Don't y'all act like ain't nobody never tried to trap you and pull you into no mess. But he said that he rescues you from deadly hazards. His huge outstretched arms protect you. Under them, we are perfectly safe. He said his arms fend off all harm. See, my husband's arms might be big, but God's arms are bigger than Deacon Jackson's arms. And God can fend off some things that Deacon Jackson might not even see coming. But he also said to fear nothing. He said not wolves in the night, not flying arrows by day. That's them darts that people throw at you trying to get at you. You don't have to fear none of that stuff, because none of it will bring you any harm. He said don't worry about any diseases that prowl through the darkness, nor disaster pastors that erupt at high noon. Even though others succumb all around and drop like flies right and left, he said no harm will graze you if you just stay under the covering. Amen. He said you'll stand untouched and you can watch it from a distance. You can watch the corpses fall for the people who fall into the disasters, and God will still protect you. He said, because he is your refuge. He is your hiding place. He is the high God and your very own home. He said, evil can't even get close to you and harm can't come through the door if you would just learn how to dwell in the secret place. Amen. Then he told Noah that he needed to gather his family. See, God blessed you to be a blessing. And it first begins by taking care of your own folks. While 1 Timothy 5:8 criticizes those who don't take care of their family, even to enemies. Amen. The Bible says very clearly that we owe charity to foreigners as well as our enemies, but first to our families. He said you can't run out trying to save the world, then forget about the scripture in verse 8 that says that anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own households, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Your Bible might say an infidel. So the order of God required that he took his wife and his kids into the ark as well. The third thing that he told Noah is you're going to have to build this thing. Build your hopes, people of God, on things that are eternal. As the song said, you got to hold on to God's unchanging hand no matter what. Romans 8:35 says, can anything separate us from the love of God? Does it mean that he no longer loves us if we have troubles or if we have calamity or if we get persecuted, if we become hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? Don't start feeling separated from God due to these tests, because they're going to turn into your testimonies. Amen. Don't feel separated from God because of your trials, because your trials are going to turn into your triumph. Don't feel separated from God because of your burdens, because I know the God that will lift all of your heavy burdens. Don't feel separated from God because every now and then you get a heavy heart and the struggles of life. I know the God that is a healer of the broken heart. See, the good news on today is that the scripture declares that nothing that happens to us nor anything that comes against us shall be able to separate us from the love of God for us, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we are all in different stages and different phases in our walk with God. But if you are in the building process, make sure that you're building your life on a rock, a sure foundation, and that rock is Jesus. I came to tell somebody today that after you come inside and after you gather your family and after you've done all the building that you need to do, when, not if, but when the rain comes, then it's time for number one, your beauty. God will give you beauty for your ashes. Everything that you thought you lost, everything that you thought was dead, God will give you beauty for your ashes. He'll turn your mourning into laughter. He'll turn your weeping into joy. He'll turn the area of your storms into a place of peace and stillness and quiet and serenity and tranquility. And then you'll get number two, your refreshing, the cleansing and the refreshing. See, thank God for daily bread, because the scripture said that the more it flooded, the higher God took the ark. I'm gonna say it again.
Amen.
The more it rained, the higher the flood got. The Bible says that God took the ark higher. Y'all don't hear me. Thank God for your floods, because they're taking you to higher heights and to deeper depths. Thank God for your floods, because they're elevating you to a whole nother place in God. You can thank God for your floods, because they are preparing you for what God has for you on the other side. They're preparing you for your fresh anointing. They're preparing you for your renewal. They're preparing you for your revival. They're preparing you for your rejuvenation, Bro Jackson, all through the word of God. Then you can prepare for your rest. Hebrews 4:11 says that rest in God is ordained. There is a time to work, but he also has a time for all of us to rest. Even during creation, God took the Sabbath day to rest. Now, let me be clear. A lot of folks are misguided and they believe that God rested on the seventh because he was tired. No, God did not rest on the Sabbath because he was tired. You've been taught a misconception. God rested because his work was finished. And he never intended for us to work every day. Your work has got to come to a finish at some point and time. And our assignment, and when it is complete, then we can sit back and enter into God's rest. But until then, we keep working, but we learn to rest in Jesus. The fourth thing that comes is your harvest. Many of us, including myself, have been planting seeds, and the rain causes the seeds that you planted to multiply and to grow. The rain causes your seeds to manifest. The rain causes your seeds to sprout up. And everything that you've been planting or planning on begins to come into fruition after the watering of the rain. Amen. The Bible says that when Noah came out of the ark, he built an altar and he made a sacrifice. Let me say it again. When God brought Noah out, he built an altar, a place to praise God and to make a sacrifice. See, if you're like me and you've got seed in the ground, the rain is just your indicator for your harvest that's on the way. But you better believe I'm gathering me some buckets, some big bones, and we're making room, Deacon Jackson, because I want everything that God has promised just for my life. And when he opens up those doors, and when he opens up those windows of heaven, I'm prepared for whatever it is that God has in store for me. Y'all better come on and go with me and open up your mouth and begin to give God some praise in advance for the windows that he's opening up. You ought to open up your mouth and begin to give God some praise in advance for the doors that he's opening up. You ought to thank God that those seeds that you have in the ground are going to sprout up, and you're going to have more harvest than you're even able to collect. Somebody here today is a witness. I can build in my dry season, because when it's God's will, it's God's bill. I can build in my dry season, because what I can't see, God can see ahead of me. I can build in my dry season because I'm holding on to God's unchanging hand. I can build in my dry season because God is with me wherever I go. I can build in my dry season because once the flood ends, God has new opportunities and a new beginning prepared just for me. I can build in my dry season because God is going to open up windows in heaven that I don't even have room enough to partake of. He gonna bless me so much that I'm gonna have to bless everybody else. Glory God. I can build in my dry season because God has never failed me and he never left me, and I can trust him even when I can't trace him. I can build in my dry season because the more it floods, the higher he takes me. The more it rains, the higher higher he elevates me. The more I go through, the more he lifts me up. Because he is my sure foundation. Because he is my shelter in the time of storm. Because he is my friend when I'm lonely. Because he is my bread when I'm hungry. Because he is my water when I'm thirsty. Because he is my help in the time of trouble. Because he is my strong tower. Because he is my way out. Because he is my way over. And God is my way through. I came to tell somebody today, build in your dry season, because God is faithful. I prophesy on today. I declare and I decree that it is so. New beginnings for everyone who's under the sound of my voice. Open doors for everyone who's under the sound of my voice. A fresh start for everyone who's under the sound of my voice. I say, God has an abundance just for you, just for your faithfulness through your floods. Amen. I speak increase. I speak excess in the name of Jesus. I speak elevation in the name of Jesus. And I speak open doors and opportunities in the name of Jesus. You don't have to wait for the flood to be over, people Amen. Of God. But you can go ahead and give God praise right now. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noonday. You can praise him all day long, because God keeps his promises. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise in this house.
Thank you so much for listening. The Charity Full Gospel Baptist Church is a word-centered and Christ-focused ministry. We exist to love God and to love God's people. We're located at 1775 Booker Street in Jackson, Mississippi, and we simply ask that when you come, come as you are, and then allow God to elevate you to where he would have you to be. Until next time, may God bless you, and may God keep you is our prayer.